Well, good morning, everyone. If you would please stand and grab a hymn book, let's turn to page 323. 323 is Standing on the Promises. Let's sing the first, third, and fourth.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
All right, let's sing that often ignored third verse. On the third.
Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God,
standing on the promises I cannot fall,
listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I heard a preacher once say that one of the things he'd least likely be is the third verse of a hymn, so often ignored. Amen. Well, it's good to see you today. Trust that you already enjoyed the service. So we had a great time in our Sunday school class. Looking forward to what the Lord will do in our midst in this hour as well. So I look around the room. It sure is a pleasure, blessing, to see quite a few visitors with us this morning. We want you to know we're extremely honored that God led you our way. As always, it's Metropolitan's great pleasure to host you here in the services today. Trust that God might be pleased to bless your heart here in our midst. What we want to do right now, though, is physically welcome each other, shake some hands, and welcome church family. Make sure you welcome our visitors this morning.
Thank you.
right, please remain standing. Let's turn to page 356.
Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, break the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it, shepherds with wonder receive it. All right, receive it. Wonderful story of love,
third.
Wonderful story of love, Jesus provides a rest. Wonderful story of love for all the pure and blessed. Rest in those mansions above us with those who've gone on before us, singing the rapturous chorus. Wonderful story of love, wonderful, 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 wonderful story of love.
Good singing. You may be seated.
I never.
stand with us once more. Let's turn to 355. It's kind of a high song, but I hope you have something left in you. David Martin, this one's for you.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, seeing it greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise his name.
Woo, everybody get a big breath. And we'll sing the third verse. All right, on the third, a little bit faster, just a hair.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, by its transforming power, making him God's dear child, purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity, and the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, seeing it greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise his name.
Amen. You may be seated.
All I can say is, woo! All right, gentlemen, if you'll take your places, we'll get ready to receive this morning's offering. We'll go over a few announcements. This Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we have a mandatory VBS meeting for those who's coaching and helping and volunteering for VBS. This Tuesday at 7 o'clock, please be in place with that. Men's breakfast is going to be Saturday. The Dixie House Cafe on Blue Mountain Road at 8 o'clock. If you have any more questions about that, please see Brother Chuck about that. We need some water, believe it or not. We need water. We need new water in the form of little bitty water bottles for VBS, because those little bitty kids don't drink great big waters. So if you would like to help with that, see Brother Allen and... those are just a little bitty water bottle. It's only about that big, about 6-8 ounces or something of that nature. Anyway, if you'd like to volunteer and bring some of those up for us, please see Brother Allen about that. We have a couple of upcoming ladies' retreats, different places. Please see Miss Marcia about those, about times and dates and sign-ups and registrations and well, I'm going to leave that alone after that. Just see Miss Marcia for any information about that. And I want to say thank you all very much for those who's helping us with our parking situation. We went around back earlier, and we've got plenty of room back there for those who need to park a little bit closer. So thank you very much for helping us with that. And one more thing. Down at the very bottom, Private Bert Bradley. He's in Germany now. It would be nice to send him a letter from now and again from his home church here. I've already sent him one this week. I'm going to try to send him one a week. You know, just try to encourage him. And he's all alone, first time away from home. Of course, he's got the army telling him what to do and when to do and all that other stuff. But every once in a while, he does have a little free time, if I understand that. And a little encouragement from him toward him would just go a long ways. So keep that in mind. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us today. Lord, thank you for the wonderful day so far, Lord. Lord, right now we're asking you to be with this offering you're about to receive. Be with the gift and the giver, Lord. But Lord, right, most of we've come together here today to hear from you. Lord, be with the preacher. Lord, you give him what you want him to say. He's studied up. He's read up. Lord, pour it out through him. Lord, prepare our hearts to receive it. Ask these things in your name. Amen.
Though the road ahead may be uncertain, though the path we travel be unknown, our God has given an assurance. We can have peace, we can have joy, we can be strong. He is our strength. He is our fortress. We can be sure we are secure within his hands. He is our joy. our hope of life eternal. He is the rock, the solid rock on which we stand. Even when I cannot see tomorrow, His word is like a lamp unto my feet. And when the laughter turns to sorrow, in His embrace we find His grace. When we are weak, He is our strength. He is our fortress. We can be sure we are secure within His hands. He is our joy, our hope of life eternal. He is the rock, the solid rock on which we stand. And when the storms of life surround me, and when the winds of sorrow blow, I will hold on to the rock of ages, for I know this one thing I know. He is my strength. He is my fortress. I can be sure I am secure within His hands. He is my joy, my hope of life eternal. He is the rock, the solid rock on which I stand. He is my joy, my hope of life eternal. He is the rock, the solid rock on which I stand. He is the solid rock on which I stand.
Amen. Amen. We stand upon Christ. Rest upon Him. On our own strength, on our own abilities, as we'll delve into today. You know, praying, begging God, what do you want us to look at, Lord, from your word along the way? I never have a lack of things to preach. It's knowing what to preach is the question. And, you know, you pray and the Lord lays it on your heart, and then you've got 8, 10, 12 hours of study time to put in to prepare for that message. And then you think, how am I going to get prepared for everything? Because I want my people to get bread when they come to church. Amen. I'm going to get some food for their souls. And I'm thankful to be able to come to church someplace where they still have church. You know, we're not about having rock concerts or all that garbly goop, but we want to come and give glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you found your place in Hebrews chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10. I don't have the other board going this morning, so it's take it for granted. We find our place there in Hebrews chapter 10. Stand with me in reverence to the Word of God. If you're begin reading in that 38th verse of chapter 10. Tremendous passage of Scripture. Those first words, the just shall live by faith. Fourth time you find that referred to in the Word of God. I'd say that's an important statement. The just, those that are right with God, the righteous, shall live how? By faith. by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe. It's the same word in the previous verse, translated faith. It's a synonym. Faith, believe, to trust. But of them that believe, to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance or the foundation, the basis of things hoped for. Our expectation is based in faith. It's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, saying, Cain tried to come to God by the work of his hands. Very significant. Abel came through the faith of obedience. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, by it he being dead yet speaketh. Message is still relevant today. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. And then verse 6 drives that point home. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe, must exercise faith, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Father, we bow before you, thanking you for your word today. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name that you use it to speak to our hearts. Lord, please get the preacher out of the way. Well, we don't want to rest in the flesh in any way, any aspect whatsoever. We want to look to you today, believing that thou art the God of glory, the God that is indeed able, even today, to do for them that look to him for their help. Father, we ask you, in that name, the name of Jesus, you'd work in every heart in this room, starting right here behind this holy desk. God, help us, please, I pray, to see you and you alone exalted and glorified and the honored King of kings and Lord of lords. Father, for those ones that might be here today, any questions? Any doubt of their relationship with you, I ask you, Lord, oh God, make Jesus real to them today. Make he that laid down his life for them real. Father, draw them savingly, gloriously to yourself today. Please, Lord, don't allow anything to create a hindrance in the service. Please take away everything that might distract or take away, that we would be focused upon you and your Son, the Lord Jesus. It's in his name, for his glory, that we pray. Amen. And amen, of course, you may be seated. A few subjects in the Bible that we find more instruction on than this subject of faith. You can see it everywhere in the Scriptures once you're looking for it. There's probably no other practical teaching, if I can say it that way, no other practical teaching of the Bible more important than what it teaches, what the Bible teaches on this matter of faith. Faith, and what it means to the believer, is the A is a cornerstone of what being a Christian is all about. For the next several messages, we're going to look and try to follow through on this subject of faith, seeking to get an understanding that we might better please God. We read that word, the simple declaration of the writer in verse 6. But without faith, he declares, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible. Not hard, not difficult. It is impossible to please Him. With that statement, should that not be enough to drive every believer to his Bible, that he might better understand how he could live to please his God? Huh? I want to understand that. Faith is the fundamental ingredient to the victorious Christian life. And I've titled this series of messages very simply, Faith, Believing God. Faith is a matter, beloved, of believing God. Those who struggle in their faith struggle with what? Believing God. Believing God. Believing God for what, preacher? Well, the Christian life is a life of faith that believes God for everything. Believes God for everything. I remember hearing about an LOL. Say, an LOL? Yes, a little old lady. And you know who you are. You pick one. Heard a story about an LOL. She's well known for her faith. She's well known for her faith. And was very bold about it. Every morning she would get up, she'd go out on her front porch and say, "Praise the Lord! Thank you, Jesus." Well, nobody much minded in the neighborhood. They loved a dear lady, and she was a sweet thing. But her very next door neighbor was an atheist. Oh my, it drove him crazy. He'd yell back at her, "There ain't no Lord." And on it went morning after morning. Well, along the way, some hard times set in for the dear little old lady, and she began to pray God to give her some help. And she'd go out on her porch on those mornings for that time, and she'd shout, "Oh, praise the Lord," and she'd follow it up, "God, please help me. Please help me. I need some groceries, and would you please help me?" Well, very next morning, she opened her front door just like every other morning, and there was a bag full of groceries sitting there. Not one of them plastic Walmart bags. I mean, this was one of them big old paper sacks that you used to get at the grocery store, just stuffed with all kinds of good things. And oh my, she started shouting, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." And just about that time, her neighbor jumped out around the corner and said, "Ha! I told you there wasn't no Lord. He didn't buy you those groceries, I did." Oh my, she started dancing and jumping around, "Praise the Lord, oh praise Jesus, thank you Jesus. You not only sent me the groceries, you had the devil pay for them." Biblical faith, beloved, is believing God for everything. God's able. God is able. Believing God for His promises to do for you in the good times and the bad. To do for you not only on the mountaintop, but also when you're dealing with those valleys in life. Faith speaks. Now listen to this. We'll see a couple definitions along the way this morning. But faith speaks of believing something to be so. In the beginning, God. You got troubles with that?
Hey, if you can deal with those first words of the scriptures, you can deal with the whole rest of the book. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Well, this morning, what I'd like us to do, and we'll be back to this passage in Hebrews 10 and 11 for sure, but if you would, turn over to Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. It's hard for me to pin down favorite verse in the scriptures, but if you really press me, this may be my favorite verse in all of the Bible. By grace are you saved through faith. By grace are you saved through faith, and that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Verse 9 goes on and says, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'd like us to look. You have to have a foundation. You have to start with this subject. And for the believer, it starts with saving faith. What's saving faith all about? What about the faith that saves an individual? And we see, beloved, from this verse in verse 8 of Ephesians 2, that faith, if you will, is the vehicle of salvation. The vehicle of, by grace, are you saved through faith? Are you saved through faith? Those words, those simple words, through faith, tell us what the vehicle, or if you will, the channel by which we receive the saving grace. The saving grace. Grace, beloved, as we understand, is the basis and the foundation of salvation. Faith is the channel by which that gracious salvation is received. Salvation is ours on the basis of God's grace, as it says there, without works of any kind, without any works of any kind. God giving to repentant sinners what they do not deserve. Huh? Grace is God giving to a repentant sinner what he does not deserve. Not a whole lot of preaching on repentance in these days, but that's okay. We still preach it here. Repentance is that desire to be done with sin. Recognizing that, yes, hey, it's just not the sin of the world. It's my sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. God is pleased by his grace to give to that repentant sinner what he does not indeed deserve. Remember this, there'll be no sin in heaven. There'll be no sin in heaven. Very important as we look at this passage. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27, it says this, and there shall in no wise enter into it, that heavenly Jerusalem. There shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. There'll be no sin in heaven. No sin in glory. We just read in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, what's the point, preacher? What are you trying to say? Well, consider this. Very important truth. Now listen. If God permitted men to enter heaven on the basis of their works, you name the work. If God permitted an individual to enter heaven on the basis of their works, they would have something then that they could boast in. Huh? They would have something to boast in. Hey, God, I'm here because of what I did. Or on the other side of that coin, I'm here because of what I didn't do. Huh? I'm here because of my sacrificial giving. I gave to this, I gave to that need. I'm here because I was a church member. I'm here because, hey, after all, I was baptized. Huh? You name the word. I'm here. Hey, God, I'm here because I kept your law. Well, then you got a problem there because you're a liar. There ain't no one yet. Excuse me, my bad grammar. There isn't anyone yet that's kept the law. Except one. His name was Jesus. No. You see, dear ones, if it be that God would let you in for something you did to his heaven, you would have something to boast in. And guess what? That whole problem of sin would start all over again. What was it? What was it that caused Satan to be thrown out of heaven? What was it? Pride. Pride. Pride is somewhere at the root, I believe, of all sin. Look at me. Look at me. Huh? Guess what? There'll be no sin in heaven. There'll be no place for Jim Turner or for you to brag on. Nothing for me to boast in. Because it is not of works, lest any man should boast. But it's by grace, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. Faith, believing what Jesus Christ did for us, is the way of salvation. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, those familiar words. It says, neither is there salvation in any other. No place else to find salvation. Neither is salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's one name that we can be saved through, and that is the name Jesus. The name Jesus. I came across this week in my study. Popular beliefs about salvation. This kind of surprised me. It says, American adults have the following beliefs according to the surveys conducted by the Barna Research Group. Pretty reliable research group. It said 57% of American adults, all nearly two-thirds, 57% believe that a person who does good can earn a place in heaven. That didn't really surprise me much. 39% believe that all who do not accept Christ as Savior will go to hell. But then 45% of those folks believe that a person's religious belief will not matter. Did you get that? 45%, that's nearly half of the American adults, believe that a person's religious belief will not matter. Now, let me just ask you a simple question. Which of those statements complies with by grace are you saved through faith? By grace are you saved through faith. Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. And not only that, faith in Christ is the only way of salvation. It amazes me in talking, it amazes, this statement amazes me. That even talking to folks who profess to be saved will also say that there's other ways to get saved. Sometimes I wonder, huh? You know, what do you believe? What do you believe? We just read, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What's it saying? What the Bible say? There's one name. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, right. Not Jim Turner's name. Yeah. There's one name.
Yes, sir.
The name Jesus.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Faith in Jesus Christ. You're familiar. You know what John 14:6 says. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he goes on, just so we understand, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, what does that say? Jesus is either an egotistical maniac, he's a liar, or that's the truth. He's either a liar or it's the truth. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, but as many as received him, speaking of Jesus, to them he, God, gave power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. His name is the name by which men can be saved, by which folks can know. We've dealt with this subject many times, even in the past 4 years. There are not many ways to heaven. There are not. Heaven is not like Dallas, where you can get on a number of roads and find your way to Dallas. Please, please don't make me go to Dallas. You know, I'm sure in this great scheme of things, I'm one of those that are called a Bible thumping fundamental Baptist preacher. I confess. I believe what the Bible says. I have faith in what the Bible says. Guilty is charged. So be it. But isn't it sad that because you believe the Bible, because you have faith in what God says, you're narrow-minded and you're excluding all these other. We're not excluding. God said there's a way. The God of glory that breathed life, the God that spoke. Hey, as we read in Hebrews chapter 11, the one that created this universe gave us a way to get right with Him. We should be rejoicing. Yes, not trying to come up with our way, but rejoicing that this God was pleased to give a way. And He gave the way through His own Son. Yes, to die for us. Oh my. Guilty is charged. I believe God. What's saving faith? It's interesting. Consider even what the English dictionary says about faith. It says it's a complete trust or confidence in someone or something. That's pretty good. Complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Definition number two. A strong belief in God or in the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. Well, that's actually pretty true too, as well. You see, beloved, when this book declares that God spoke the universe into existence, we accept that how? By faith. We accept that by faith. Now, I happen to be one that think that's a much better explanation for this universe than to come up with the idea that a little gram or little tiny speck exploded and we have the universe that man can't even begin to measure. Huh? How much faith does it take to believe that? Rather than to believe that there's a God that designed this universe and spoke it into existence. Hebrews 11:1 gives the Bible's, the Lord's biblical definition of faith. Faith is the substance, the foundation, the basis of things hoped for, our expectations. Faith is the foundation of our hopes, our expectations. The evidence. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Do you believe God's real? Point them out to me. Huh? Hey, isn't that what the atheist says? Show me your God. Well, I can't. I can't point to him and say, here's God. Thankfully, I can. I'm glad I can. Tell you the truth. I'm glad that my God's bigger than for me to just be able to carry him around in my pocket and say, here he is. Like a rabbit's foot or something. Huh? Some folks have more faith in such things than they do God. Let me ask you this. Can you have faith in a lie? Can you have faith? What's faith? A strong belief in something. Can you have faith in a lie? Yeah, you can. You can have faith in a lie. What if you strongly believe that a lie is true? Say, preacher, are you trying to mess with our heads? Well, for some of you, I got here too late. What if you strongly believe that a lie is true? Does that somehow, does your belief, even a strong belief, make the lie something more or different than a lie? Huh? Can believing in the tenets of a works-based religious system get you to heaven? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. By grace you're saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? Well, can my believing with all my heart in the tenets of a works-based religious system get me to heaven? No. Well, preacher, what a terrible thing to say. I didn't say it. God's word declares it. There's one way. Anything that contradicts God's way is what? A lie. It's deception. It's deception. Beloved, if I believe with all my heart, it's amazing what some folks will believe, completely and totally, totally. If I believe that blowing myself up in a mosque or in a church or in a coffee shop or walking into a naval station and blowing up some Marines will get me to paradise, does that make it true? No, it doesn't. Believing a lie, no matter how strongly I believe that lie, does not make it so. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16 says this, very important. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. What's he saying? What's Paul telling the Galatians? Same thing he told the Ephesians. By grace you're saved through faith. And he's telling those churches in Galatia who there were some teachers, some Judaizers they called them, who were trying to bring those new believers in those churches there in Galatia back under the law of Moses. They said, oh, it's fine for you to have Jesus, but you also got to keep the law, the works of the law. Well, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Now listen. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. There's no works that can make you right with God. Nothing you can do by these flesh and blood hands that can make you right with God. Huh? Now, we're not going to dwell on this, but every man-made religion will give you something to do. Every man-made religion will give you something to do. It's in our nature. Huh? It's in our fallen nature to want to somehow redeem ourselves. But what's What's the Bible say? By grace are you saved. Through faith. Through the channel of faith. These words instill thoughtfulness. By grace you're saved by faith. To believe. To believe. To trust. Those words, they instill a thoughtfulness. Something that we consider with the mind. Faith is the substance upon which our relationship with God is founded. It's a faith in something we understand. When I walk down the gangway onto an airplane, I'm exercising a good measure of faith. Think about it. I'm believing what I understand about an airline's service, about the plane, and about the pilot to get me to my destination. That's a good bit of faith. Because the reality of the thing is, I don't know anything about that plane I'm walking onto. And I've never met the pilot. I was thinking about this the other day. I thought, maybe I won't fly anymore. We're depending upon the reputation of the airline. We're depending upon supposedly the maintenance of that airplane done by the... and all that goes into that. There is a consideration of all of that, and we've decided that we're going to trust them. We're going to put our faith in them to get us to where we're wanting to go. For my eternal salvation. Now think. For my eternal salvation, something far, far more important than getting from Dallas to wherever. I am believing. I'm trusting God that what He says is trustworthy. That what Jesus Christ did at Calvary is indeed sufficient. There's some things I'm considering about this. I'm believing His reputation as a good God, a truthful God, who loves and cares about His... I'm believing what He says. There's some thinking that goes into that. But then there's also this matter of believing with the heart. Believing with the heart. If you turn over a few pages to the book of Acts, to the book of Acts, chapter 8, we'll look at just a few verses there. We could look at a sizable passage, but we won't. We move from the mind to the heart now. Here in at the end of Acts chapter 8, we have the evangelist Philip being put together in the middle of nowhere with a eunuch from Ethiopia. He's returning from Jerusalem. He's made a trip to Jerusalem to worship there. And he's reading his Bible in the chariot as he returns to Ethiopia. And God has Philip in the way to meet him. And Philip has the opportunity, to make a long story short, to tell this eunuch about what Jesus Christ did to save his soul. And it says in verse 36 of Acts chapter 8, as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And a eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? It seems that along the way, Philip not only told him all about Jesus, but explained to him that what believer's baptism is, and that in that step of faith to follow the Lord in baptism. In verse 37, hopefully you don't have an NIV Bible. Because if you have an NIV Bible, it doesn't have a verse 37 there. Yeah. Verse 37 in NIV, it usually goes to verse 38. Or they may throw a little note in there and say, this isn't in the best manuscripts. Well, I don't know who gave them the right to decide what the best manuscripts are. But verse 37 tells you the condition of baptism. I'd say that's a pretty important verse. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart The idea, that description there, all thine heart, is to be totally and entirely with every bit of your heart. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He answered and said, I believe. I believe I have my faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That Jehovah's salvation, the anointed one of God, is indeed worthy of my faith. Huh? We've moved now from the mind to the heart. The heart, beloved, not only speaks of that which we feel in many cultures, but it also is described in that sense in the New Testament. The heart, as we understand, is a mixed bag of sentiment and commitment and feeling. Sometimes good and sometimes not so good. The inclinations of the heart are fine. They're fine when governed by truth. Governed by truth. But many times, our hearts can get us in big trouble when they're not governed by truth. How many times has a young woman or a young man got themselves into trouble because they allowed their heart to be governed without truth? And they're convinced, oh, it'll be fine. After all, I love him or I love her. Huh? My heart tells me it'll be all right. Oh my, but what's the truth? What's the truth in the matter? Is the heart, is those feelings, are those feelings the end-all test of whether something's good or bad? No. My heart, now listen, and let me say it this way. Hopefully you understand at this point. My heart faith has to be governed by my mind faith. Huh? What I feel has got to be governed by what I also know, the truth. What I know. And when those two come together, our heart believes completely and absolutely. The object of that kind of saving faith, what is the object? It's Jesus. The object of saving faith is Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 21, there in the city of Philippi, the Apostle Paul has asked the question. Every preacher longs for this question to be asked. The Philippian jailer looks at Paul and he says, what must I do to be saved? What do I got to do? Paul didn't tell him, run down and get baptized. Paul didn't tell him, go join a church. Paul told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Place your faith in Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. Amen. The object of salvation, Jesus Christ. The object of saving faith, Jesus Christ. The object of saving faith. And how do we get that? How do we obtain that saving faith? How do we obtain that grace? Through faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, those familiar words. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's something. You hear that gospel message. You hear about what Jesus Christ did to save your soul from sin. And there's something that God triggers in you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Huh? God is pleased to birth that confidence, that belief, that faith, if you will, in that innermost being. And you're ready. As Romans chapters 10 and verse 9 and 10 say, that if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and what? Believe. Believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Saving faith. Saving faith. And that miraculous thing takes place in your heart of hearts. Yes, I believe what Jesus did for me. I believe indeed that what He did on that cross was sufficient to pay for my sin. And I am trusting Him. I'm putting my faith in Him to deliver me from my sin. Saving faith, beloved. Saving faith. So the question. The question then for us, for every one of us, have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Is your faith in Jesus Christ to save you from sin? You see, don't put your faith in me. Don't put your faith in Metropolitan Baptist Church or any church. Huh? The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Don't put your faith in the water of some church. Don't put your faith in what you might be able to lay out in an offering plate. Huh? You place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trusting Him. I believe that what Jesus Christ did paid for my sin. Jesus, save me, a sinner. Let's stand together, beloved. Father, we love You. Thank You for what You've done for us. Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that as I look back at Jim Turner's life, and I'm thankful I don't have to trust in what I could do or have done or could ever do. But I can trust in You. I can rest in what You did for us, for me. I can trust Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for sin. Lord, I'd ask You, I pray for folks across this room this morning. Lord, every one of us has to answer for ourselves what we're trusting. Answer for ourselves, indeed, if we truly believe You. Without faith, it's impossible. Please You. So Father, I pray, Lord, make real to hearts around this room, across this room. Lord, I don't know. There may well be folks within these walls today that are trusting in something they did along the way. Maybe they're even trusting walking an aisle at some point, signing a card, being baptized, joining a church. Father, please, please may all those things fade into insignificance. And might they see Jesus. Or might they see Jesus today, Your Son, as the one and only one that can save from sin. The blood that was shed at Calvary was absolutely, totally sufficient to pay the wages of their sin. Lord, please make that message real. Please get past the preacher. Make it real from You to hearts today. And Lord, what You'd be pleased to do, oh God, we'll give You the glory for it. We ask it, Lord. in Jesus' saving name. Amen. Amen. Brother John.
Page 163.
Said indeed, we can't save a single soul. But if you're questioning this morning your relationship to Jesus Christ, questioning where you will spend eternity, please, dear one, please, I beg you, don't leave this church house. Come, take this preacher by the hand this morning and say, "Preacher, I just want to know I'm saved." There'll be folks here that'll be glad to take you aside and help you, point you to Jesus, help you to understand what Jesus did for you. Oh, it'll be the greatest joy that we could have today. Any question? Of course, these altars are open for prayer. Anything on your heart or need today, please obey the Lord as we sing.
Come, every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
What is your answer to that question, beloved? What are you trusting? What are you trusting to take you to heaven? What are you believing today will save your soul? What's your answer to that question? Anything. Anything but Jesus Christ's sacrifice for you will not suffice. Will not suffice. What are you trusting? Jesus. Jesus alone. We sing, please, please, please be honest with the Lord. Be honest with yourself. What is your hope of salvation today? As we sing.
Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Come then and join this holy band and on to glory go. To dwell in that celestial land where joy's immortal flow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
Amen. Well, we've tried as best we can to declare what it means to have saving faith.
Amen.
A lot of times I go to the foyer wondering what else I should have said or could have said. Then I have to remember that, hey, it's God that does it.
Amen.
It's God that does the saving. We have to respond to Him, though. And how do we respond to Him? By faith. Trusting that what He says to us is indeed true and worthy of our faith. And I do want to encourage you, if there's any burden, any need on your heart today, any question, for whatever reason you didn't have liberty to present yourself, we're always available. Day and night, there's always someone to be willing to come to you with the Word of God. Explain to you what Jesus did. In fact, you might not like this, but I'm going to pray God won't leave you alone.
Amen.
You crawl into the covers and God crawl right in there with you. Won't let you rest till you deal with this thing if there's a need to be dealt with. Huh? I want to take as many people to glory as we can. I don't want anyone I preach to ever to be left behind. Amen?
Amen.
Folks, be saved. Be saved by faith, by grace through faith. Amen. Brother John, would you come?
We'll be dismissed with our chorus, Make Me a Blessing. It's page 200 if you need the words or in your bulletin. Give me that starting note.
Make me a blessing, make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine.